Podcast. This is your host, Alberto. I'm here flying solo this evening, but that doesn't mean that we don't have a good show lined up for you still. So Paul's not in this week, but he will be back in the next episode. But for now, what we did is we got a chance to have three interviews to talk with three creatives about their process and how design influences everything from what we consume to how we enjoy art. We also got a chance to speak with Justin Staley with Fujifilm. And we got to talk a little bit about the brand new X-Pro3, some of the design choices made there, but also a little controversial, maybe. We got to talk about what full frame actually means in the world of digital sensors. So without any further ado, we're going to jump right into our first interview with Marco Samadi of PepsiCo. As the lead designer for the PepsiCo hydration platform, Marco was tasked with using design and design elements to help consumers make better choices, not just about how to reduce their carbon footprints, but also how to make better choices with respect to their health and their water consumption and intake. Check it out.
I appreciate you all for doing this interview with us. Marco, if you don't mind, could you just take a couple of seconds and introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. My name is Marco Cimazzi. I work in PepsiCo's design team. Mainly, I look at sort of exploring what PepsiCo's opportunity is beyond the bottle, you could say, and how we sort of design equipment or experiences that really resonate with people and bring sort of PepsiCo products to life in that sector.
Awesome. And again, thank you for taking time out your schedule. So, if you don't mind, could you just kind of walk us through what the hydration platform is?
Sure. So, this hydration platform that we're really excited about that we just introduced, really what it allows people to do is sort of personalize the way that they drink water. It allows them to enjoy that water in a more sustainable way, and also in a way that sort of meets their hydration needs. So essentially it's composed of about, say, three components, right? One component is the connected equipment. That comes in two versions. There's a standalone version and a countertop version. Then there's sort of a companion app, and there's a personalized QR code that goes together with that allows people to basically access their settings and access their preferences on any piece of equipment and sort of do that in a very effortless way, you could say.
Like, so one of the things that I noticed from the video demo, the stations kind of have like almost like a retro-futuristic look to them. You know, I don't know how to quite put it into words, but it's almost like it reminds me of like those old school vending machines that you'd see like kind of like in the gas station. What was like some of the was that the intent to kind of give it that familiar look to it without it being too industrial?
Yeah, I mean, with the whole platform. We really want to reimagine what hydration equipment should be like and what that experience should be. And so we were actually very much inspired by contemporary furniture, especially when you look at the standalone unit, right? So it's really designed to feel very light, open, welcoming. But I think as you sort of noticed, also have sort of a familiar feel to it, right? So that it doesn't feel foreign. But with the notion of furniture, right, this is important because this is going in workplaces, it's going in universities, it's going in, you know, maybe student lounges or workplace kitchens. These aren't typically the kinds of places where you find kind of equipment that PepsiCo has, right? So in these types of places, you really have to be able to blend in to and fit in very easily into these environments and sort of add the quality of the environment that it lives in, but it can't be a vending machine, right? It can't can't stand out and dominate a space like a vending machine would. It's on the side of the countertop, right? That one, I think, was definitely the intent, was how do we pull it away from sort of feeling like commercial equipment, right? How do we communicate the quality of the water and the experience and drive that kind of excitement around hydration? These environments, right, are very much, you know, what you see out there in terms of workplace kitchens is their offices are designing them to feel like home kitchens, right? They're very open, they feel very familiar and very sort of welcoming.
So you definitely get that feel from the video and the demonstration. It's one of those things where I when I looked at it, I instantly thought, I was like, you know, it would be so cool to have something like this in the office. The water cooler doesn't really inspire me to get up and go and, you know, fill my 20-ounce bottle as often as I should. But this kind of, when you say welcoming, that's exactly what it kind of does. Like it elicits kind of a visceral response where it's kind of like, oh, what is this? I want to interact with this thing. I noticed that you guys are also incorporating an app with it. Could you tell us a little bit more about the app?
I should start a bit with what the equipment enables you to do, and then from there go into the app, because the two are very tied. So the equipment, right, and the whole experience allows you to really customize your beverage. I said that in the beginning, right? It's about sort of personalizing the way that people can enjoy your water.
Right.
So you can select the level of carbonation. You can either have it still or lightly sparkling or more intensely sparkling. You can change and adjust the level of flavor, something very light, something more robust. And also the temperature, you can adjust from just an ambient water to something that's, you know, almost ice cold.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from right, selecting the different types of flavor enhancements to the water. So going back to the app, what that allows you to do is really save those settings. It allows you to then bring up those settings on any piece of our equipment. And to be able to do that in a very seamless and easy way. So you don't have to, you know, the app is just, knows what you're drinking, so you don't have to input anything. It's basically doing everything in the background. This was like, going back maybe to the design aspect of it, that was kind of a key thing for us in terms of the experience is that nothing should get in the way of just simply enjoying great tasting and refreshing water. So that's why the digital experience, right, was designed to be very much, we knew it had to be tech-enabled, but we didn't want it to be tech-led. So, like I was saying, right, people can access their favorite drinks, signing in with the QR code that they can put on their current reusable bottle. They don't have to get a special bottle for this, right? They can use whatever they're using and put one of our QR code stickers on it. And the app, right, allows them to customize and save the beverages just at any time. They don't have to do it at the equipment. They could do it, you know, they're on the subway on their way home or after they've had the drink, right, they can say, well, I like this. Let me save it. Or they can say, well, I didn't like it so much. I wanted a little bit colder. So they can do that, right? And then by having the app track this stuff in the background, it lets people know, right, how much they're pouring, so it enables them to kind of track their hydration. It enables them to understand, right, how many plastic bottles they're saving by sort of using this equipment. There's all these things that we're able to do kind of in the background without the user having to do any extra effort or any active effort, let's say, in terms of like inputting that data or keeping track of that.
Yeah, that's actually very cool. I really like the fact that you know, more and more companies are more actively trying to reduce their carbon footprint. I'm really digging the Beyond the Bottle, the entire like idea behind it. I know it's one of those things that I personally am trying to make better conscious decisions about how much plastic I'm using.
Well, I mean, I think you know, we're trying to do things that meet consumers' needs. So that was really kind of the big emphasis around the system was around, you know, how do we offer more options to consumers in terms of hydration, in terms of water, consumers, you can definitely see, you know, from the universities or even some work, several workplaces are putting in policies to reduce the amount of plastic that they're sort of providing or using. Campuses are doing similar things. So, you know, we're definitely, with this system, very much responding to that, and really trying to generate a lot of excitement around helping people to sort of maintain those healthy habits and drink more water and have beverages in a more sustainable way. So I think we're sort of, again, it's about sort of meeting consumers' needs and consumers' interests for things of this sort.
Definitely. And so this is like a completely superficial question. What's your favorite flavor that you guys have in the system?
What's my favorite flavor?
Yeah.
That's like asking me which one of my kids is my preferred one. No. there's some really like classic flavors in there. Like, I think we have strawberry and lime. There's some sort of more interesting ones, I think, that is where I like. So I really like the lemon mint, and then we also have an orange grapefruit, which I also like.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'm big on like the flavored seltzers and flavored sparkling waters. So you kind of got my interest with that lemon mint. That sounds really, really nice. All right, well, Marco, I just want to say thank you for taking the time to talk with us today. Before I let you go, just very quickly, how soon should we start expecting to see these pop up? You know, or is there like any like specific rollout?
So, yeah, I mean, what I can tell you is that you'll be seeing these in sort of market tests this coming year, both the standalone and the countertop units will be rolling them out or testing them first in select workplaces and campuses around the country. Cool. Then look out for one in the near future, maybe coming to your neighborhood in Brooklyn or somewhere in New York City. We'll see.
Awesome. Perfect. Well, we'll definitely keep an eye out for those. And as always, like again, thank you so much for taking the time. Next up, we have three separate interviews from the show floor at Photo Plus 2019. We got a chance to check out Miro, a new platform that helps photographers get paired up with businesses looking for photography services.
Hey everyone, Alberto again for G-Sound Magazine and The Noisecast. We're here at Photo Plus Expo 2019 in New York City. And today we're here to talk about a new platform specifically for photographers and the photography community at large. Julian, could you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. I'm Julian Zakoyan. I'm a CEO North America and global CMO at Miro. We are, as to your point, a company that's kind of changing a little bit the way photography works. And we're doing that by working with large brands in the travel and catering industry and a community of 60,000 photographers globally who are getting gigs through us with these kind of brands.
Awesome. So essentially, and correct me if I'm wrong, like Miro essentially works almost like a 21st century photography agency in that it eliminates a lot of kind of the haranguing that people would have typically do in a traditional model where I'd have to go find someone who believes in my vision wholeheartedly that they're gonna take up their time and like go start pitching companies. Instead, what you guys are doing is kind of creating a wider net where brands and companies are looking for photography services and you're pairing them with photographers in their area, local photographers who may know the business, may know that particular industry, and kind of cutting out, like, not cutting out, but like helping to create like those networks and bridges together. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good vision of what we do, definitely. What's amazing, in my opinion, in terms of what we bring to the photographers is they don't have any clients to deal with anymore. They don't have any post-production work to do anymore. All they get is a notification from us saying, hey, we have a job for you in 48 hours on that address. You can be there at that time. And then if they pick it up, they show up, do the shoot, spend an hour on set, get back home, upload the photos on the platform, and we take it from there. We take care of everything with the brand, so you don't have to interact with the client. You don't have to ask for your money. We're paying you every other week, like every 2 weeks. We pay our photographers, while we actually invoice our clients every month. So we deal with the cash issues. It's just you, your camera, just photography.
Right, and essentially, I think from a working photographer's point of view, like that's one of the worst things about being a working photographer is you have to do all the things that are not related to photography. So, for example, I'm a good photographer, but I'm not necessarily the best bookkeeper. So, you know, like hearing something that takes that off my plate is definitely like a plus to me.
Absolutely. So that's one of our tagline, which is because photographers are better photographers than accountants. I think that's totally true. And if you think of you work as a photographer, have you ever thought about how much time you spend not doing photography in your work?
Like most of my work.
70%, right?
Maybe more.
Maybe 80%.
Yeah.
Which, when you think about it, is just crazy because you've been doing that because you like photography. Some people, they've been deciding to go and be a doctor because they like being doctors and that's what they actually do.
Right.
You don't, right?
Right.
So that's something we're trying to solve by just streamlining everything that's around that, like, around photography itself and automate it, provide tools to deal with that. One of the things we're doing here is we are actually piloting a new tool that we just came up with, which is free. We call it My Miro, and it's actually a place where photographers can manage their businesses, creating accounts, creating easily invoices, seeing where they are on their payments, manage the gallery, but also have access to high-level, like high-quality content with like rockstar photographers explaining their tips and tricks, and like how they find inspiration. And also, there's another tab which is community to like talk to the other photographers that live around your neighborhood or in your city and meet them regularly in meetups. So that's something we are bringing to the community because we think that might also help them save time and spend more time doing actual photography by finding all the rest in one single place.
Awesome. That sounds awesome.
Cool.
Julian, can you let everybody know where they can find more information about the platform and also MyMiro?
Totally. Yeah, www.miro.com is like the go-to place to figure out more information about ourselves. So please check us out.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Julian, appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
We also got a chance to speak with Justin Staley of Fuji North America to discuss the brand new Fuji X-Pro3 and some of the design choices that were made in creating what, in my opinion, is the must-have street photographer's camera. Sure, you know, many people will fight me and say Leica's the way to go, but the Fuji X-Pro3 definitely provides a lot of what the Leica MD style cameras do without having to spend the Leica money. It is APS-C, and we did get to talk about what that means in a world that's dominated by digital and the latest buzzword within the industry, which is full frame mirrorless. Again, we got to talk about some of the design cues and choices there and how they impact the photographer and also how they impact some of the decisions that they make with respects to their new camera.
So first. Hi, I'm Justin Staley with Fujifilm, and we're here coming to you live from Photo Expo in New York.
Awesome.
And here, we've got the brand new X-Pro 3. So we've brought the X-T3 tech into the X-Pro style body. So we're giving you that rangefinder type experience now with all the new tech and all the performance advantages of the new sensor and processor.
Could you talk a little bit about like the design? I know there was a lot of talk about the titanium plate.
This camera, we see really a lot of use for this camera are street photographers, and so we want this camera to be as tough and as rugged as possible. We've used titanium top and bottom plates. And then we've used this Duratect coating for the top and bottom. Extremely smooth, extremely hard, extremely scratch resistant. So your camera looks good for a really long time. The optical finder, we've changed, we've improved it, made it even more clear, better resolution in it, but a higher resolution EVF in it also. So you've got more performance whether you want to use the optical finder or the electronic viewfinder. So just some highlights of features. That new EVF in here runs at 100 frames a second, right? So it's giving you a very fast refresh rate for great images, great pictures. 3.69 million dot, too. So extremely high resolution, extremely high frame rates. That's really good for everything that you'd want to know and see when you're taking pictures. New film sim, right? We got Classic Neg now. Classic Neg's great, classic sort of vintage look, more contrast and more punchy, but has a beautiful, beautiful look to it for that vintage sort of New York street look. We also have improved the autofocus algorithm in this camera, right? So the phase detection AF is now good down to minus 6 EV, and that's with the 35-1.4 that I've got on it right now. So we can go down autofocus in darker conditions. This gives us way more performance. We've also added a couple other features in the camera. We now have a HDR mode in here, so the camera actually will shoot and combine three frames and give you a higher resolution image and a higher dynamic range in your pictures. So it's really kind of a nice thing. One press the shutter, three shots combined into a single file. The other cool thing that we've added, multiple exposure mode. Our cameras have always had it. We've always been able to shoot two pictures. This camera now, we can shoot up to nine, and we can choose how those files are blended together. They can either be additive, average, bright, or dark. So we really can blend those in together differently, and you have more creative freedom with the camera. Film, you know, we've really focused on these APS-C size sensor cameras. These cameras to us are all about lightweight, speed, performance, right? So having a smaller camera, and really it goes back to the 30s and small camera, big pictures. So wanting to have that smaller sensor, that smaller camera, you know, full frame, we're full frame APS-C, but full frame gets to be mean 35 millimeter now. And those cameras tend to be bigger. The lenses tend to be bigger than other cameras. So our engineers, when we looked at this system and laid it out, we decided to go with APS-C because it gave us some advantages in weight and size of the entire optical system. Not just the body, but the entire system. So that's really important to us. If you're looking for more res, and you're looking for, you know, jaw-dropping resolution, we've got the GFX100 for you. It's larger than 35 millimeter sensor, and you know, it's 100 megapixel or 50 megapixel, depending upon which version you're looking at, if you really want spectacular images.
Thanks for checking out this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Hope you got something from it. As always, you can hit us up on social media. We're at Noisecast on Twitter and Facebook, as well as at The Noisecast on Instagram. Be sure to check out our Patreon page. Your support means a lot to us. We really, really do this show out of just the love for tech and what we do. And believe it or not, the $5, the $10 that you contribute every month helps keep this podcast going. So really appreciate all your support. And if you are not ready to subscribe to the Patreon page, it's all right. Make sure you share this episode with a friend. Also, be sure to leave a review or a rating on your podcast app of choice. Thanks again. This is Alberto signing off. Peace.